The Department of Labor files a lawsuit against the Postal Service. Labor says the Postal Service made bogus terrorism charges against an employee to retaliate when he reported unsafe working conditions. David Hendel's a partner and government contracts attorney at Hush Blackwell. He says the actions of the Postal Service should serve as a warning for both federal employees and contractors. David, what is the story of this Postal Service employee? As I read what you're writing about this, if I made it up and submitted it as like a short story or a movie, I don't think anybody would believe it would be possible.
Yeah, it's truly amazing, the facts of the case, mostly because it came from the Department of Labor suing the U.S. Postal Service. It's not a disgruntled employee trying to collect a big payday. It's the Department of Labor saying the Postal Service retaliated against a safety whistleblower in a very egregious way. I mean, the facts of this case are you have a maintenance employee, 35-year employee of the Postal Service. He complains that he suspects there might be a carbon monoxide leak and there are oil-soaked rags near a boiler. You know, those don't seem like outrageous claims. He's not saying that aliens have landed at the Postal Service, right?
Right.
And when the OSHA inspectors come in, his managers lead the OSHA inspectors kind of around, away from where the oil-soaked rags are, so that they can't see that violation. And the OSHA inspectors didn't have a device to measure carbon monoxide. So the employee doesn't give up, and he calls the fire marshal. And he can't get through. And the one thing he does, it might have been a slight mistake, he calls 911. Now, he tells 911, look, it's not an emergency, but I'd like someone to come over and check, see carbon monoxide levels. Now, 911 arrives, and the postal managers are, as you can imagine, not happy about that.
I bet.
And they say, oh, he's a disgruntled employee. Don't worry about it. He's just making a false report. The next day, they suspend him without pay, and he remains suspended for a time. And then they try and get the postal officials try and get a criminal prosecutor to prosecute him for on terrorism charges and making a false report. The employee files a complaint with OSHA, saying he's being retaliated against, and the Postal Service doubles down and now actually does fire him instead of putting him on a suspension, and actually is able to convince the local prosecutor to have him arrested. And he is arrested for making a terrorist threat, and he's held in jail, it's not looking good for him. Eventually, the Postal Service, later kind of comes to its senses when the Postal OIG comes in and says, no, this guy didn't do anything wrong. And eventually they rescind the termination and the criminal charges are dismissed. But the Department of Labor is not satisfied and they bring this case.
So what's the legal situation by which the Labor Department believes it has to do something here on behalf of this employee?
Well, the case arises out of the OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Act, and that allows the Department of Labor to enforce it, and this is one of its ways. And it's asking for a number of things. It's asking for an order from the court to bar the Postal Service from retaliating against employees who report safety violations. It's also asking for this employee to get full recompense for what he went through.
You note in what you're writing about this that when the employee was reinstated, they didn't give him all of his back pay, despite the fact by that time we already knew that the Inspector General had cleared him, and if they were reinstating him, obviously they were no longer fearful that he was going to do anything to sabotage the building. They didn't think he was a threat anymore.
Yeah, there's still 15 days of back pay they did not provide him. I really don't understand that, because they provided back pay for a much longer period. But the Department of Labor says he wasn't provided that. And I think there's kind of some morals out of this story here. First of all, I'm surprised that the terrorist card was played here. And I would have thought that's kind of out of bounds, right? Even if you're trying to disparage someone, I would think a federal agency official wouldn't want to play the terrorist card, reserve that for, what really is an act of terrorism. So that's disturbing about the case. But then there's a moral of the story, and that is, this is kind of an example of an agency official kind of acting to protect a decision that had already made. And that's kind of how the lens I'm looking at it. The decision had been made. This is a disgruntled employee. He doesn't have, for whatever reasons, he's making up things. And they doubled down on that instead of kind of reexamining where they were. And they took it to an absurd length, calling him a terrorist.
I really, David Hendel of Hush Blackwell is my guest, writing about this case of the Labor Department suing the Postal Service on behalf of this employee. I guess the part of it that I don't really get is the part that none of us will be able to answer, and that is, why didn't they just get rid of the rags that were next to the boiler and do a carbon monoxide test? I'm not aware that that's a particularly difficult or expensive process. At any rate, what do we take away from this, or what should we take away from this, not just federal employees, but also contractors, and what this could mean in the context of a broader relationship with a federal agency for which one works or does business?
Yeah, well, I'll say right to that. Most agency officials are not like this, right? So this is kind of an unusual case.
Yes.
We're not going to tar all federal officials. Most of them are very good and wouldn't do anything like this. But this does happen from time to time. And contractors especially have to be wary of it, because when an agency official is making a charge that a contractor or a contractor employee did something wrong, the agency investigators are more likely going to believe the agency employees and not the contractor's employees, right? So you've got that. And especially if there's any kind of threat of violence or anything that could be perceived to be that. And sometimes those do get trumped up, because it is a very, hot button area, especially in a postal facility. So that's an area where contractors and their employees must be absolutely clear that they're not doing anything that might even be perceived as any kind of threat of violence. It could be a dirty look. It could be any kind of slight touching. It could be objectionable words that are used. It could give rise to an official maybe going to these lengths, not necessarily saying you're a terrorist, but saying that you threatened some kind of act of physical violence.
It is a pretty amazing story, and you write, I think the understatement of your piece is this sentence, David: "We'll be watching to see if any individuals at the Postal Service are held accountable for what happened in this case." Yeah, I imagine that you and your colleagues in the legal community will be watching this, not just because of this case, but for what it might portend for future cases.
Yeah, I mean, you don't usually see a lot of that, where the officials who caused all this are taken to task for it. And it'd be interesting to see if that does happen in this case.
Suspending him, publicly disparaging him, and pursuing the criminal complaint because he reported safety hazards.
Yeah.
It's a pretty incredible story. I guess it begs the question, is this common? It doesn't sound like it is, because I think we would hear about more of these cases as we heard about this one. But it's stunning to me, because as I read what you wrote about this case, I thought it's amazing that somebody anywhere, let alone in the federal government, would say, yeah, we should do that because I'm sure we can get away with it.
Yeah, it does. It does give you a sense of how certain they must have felt about their position with respect to this individual. And you know, it could have worked. I'm almost surprised it didn't work. I mean, this guy must have been intimidated. Imagine he was arrested, put in jail. The pressure on him to just want to go away and not fight it must have been intense. So, this is a case we've heard about. Obviously, he didn't give in to the pressure. But there could be other cases like this where people just say, it's not worth it, I'm going to walk away from it.
Is there a track record of what, obviously, every case is unique, but is there a track record of what cases like this result in when the Labor Department goes ahead and has to sue another federal agency?
Well, I just haven't seen this before. I haven't seen anything like this. I'm sure the Postal Service has come to its senses by now and is going to do the right thing by this employee and by the agency. And I'm sure it's going to get resolved, because it's brought by the Department of Labor, and they don't want to have trouble with Department of Labor on this. So hopefully this is just an anomaly, and it'll be a teaching lesson, and we won't see anything like it ever again.
Is this the kind of thing, David, that you expect to wind up with a settlement and negotiated settlement rather than going to any kind of actual litigation?
I would certainly expect to see that here. I don't see any upside to fight this on the Postal Service's side of things.